Hallelujah. Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will be glad, rejoice. Amen, because we have a choice. I have a message from the throne room of God. I hope they're all from the throne room of God. As time approaches and time comes to an end, we will see many things begin to manifest. One of the things that we'll be seeing is exposure. You know, one of the things that we talked about is how there's been a divine awakening. God is intruding into people's lives. And what he's saying is, wake up, step in, or you'll be left. The choice is ours. There is preparations not only for what's happening not only in this country but globally, but God is always preparing things before they happen. He releases things to his prophets. He releases things to his children in the kingdom. He releases divine revelations so that we get prepared. And there's an area that he speaks to us, and there's a place called the third dimensional language. And in this, it's a place where he's trying to get his children, because only in that place is their interpretation. In Hebrews chapter 1, so many times the enemy tries to tell us it isn't for us, but it's for everyone. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. God who at various times and various ways, various times and various ways. In other words, he's got his ways to speak to us. And at specific times, he knows. So many times we're going, oh Lord, I want to hear, I want to hear, I want to hear. And I can tell you this, that many times he says, you're not ready to hear. Why? Because you haven't done what I asked you to do already. But yet you want to hear now again when you haven't done what I've asked you to do already. So he'll step back in that. And it says, in various ways he spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appeared and appointed heir over all things, through whom also he made the worlds. He who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, God Almighty, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he paid the price, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become much better than the angels. Angels are messengers. So what he's saying, he is the greatest messenger, the true messenger. As he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. In other words, no man comes to the Father except for through the Son and Jesus. So God spoke at various times in various ways. And in this, at some time, he was speaking through the prophets. He'll speak through his word. He speaks, but there's a place where interpretation must be established, where it's not just by illumination or revelation, but it's by interpretation with understanding. Because so many people don't understand. They don't get it. In John 14, some refuse to get it. Some just don't want it. Some know they're supposed to, but they're still caught up in the world. In John 14, very, very powerful. Is everybody there? If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to get one. Bring a notebook. It's a place of training. Paper doesn't forget. How are you going to tell your children if you don't have it? In verse 1, let's speak it together. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus speaking. He said, in my Father's house are many dimensions. This place is called the third dimension. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, and that where I am, there you also be. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we even know the way? They didn't have understanding because they were not able to interpret what he was saying. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known the Father also. And from now on, you not only know him, but you see him. So Jesus was explained that he was the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, the way. Jesus expressed not only was he the eternal port to home, but he expressed that things are three-dimensional. Way, truth, and life. I am the way, truth. He created all things. He created the worlds. He created everything. He created in a three-dimensional state. But also there's a three-dimensional. There's the physical. There's the spiritual. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life, Jesus as creator created in three-dimensional universe. There are three kingdoms. We've talked about them before, but I want to start with the first-dimensional kingdom, and that is the kingdom of self. That is the first dimensional kingdom. That is what is tangible right here. The second dimensional kingdom is Satan's kingdom. That's where there's principalities, powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places. It's an unseen place that influences those of the kingdom of self. And then there's the third dimensional kingdom, which is the kingdom of God. And that's where Lucifer was removed from. He was removed from that kingdom. And in this, we see that in these three kingdoms, each kingdom, there is a language. There's a place of understanding in each kingdom. In Psalm 19, in verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day on today, utter speech. In other words, God is speaking. But many cannot interpret the third dimensional language. Some people can't even interpret the second dimensional language. Far be it that they even interpret the first dimensional language. He says, day on today, utter speech, and night on tonight reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So he is speaking. The problem is people are not able to interpret or understand. It says their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat or its presence. You know, in the book of Revelation, it's pretty powerful because there were letters that were written to the churches, and at the end of every single letter, there were warnings. It was warning about a lukewarm church. It was warnings. Every one of those letters were warnings. There was a promotion, but then there was a warning, and it always ended, he who has an ear, let him hear. Every single one. Every single letter, because there's a difference between listening and hearing. People who listen just go, yeah, 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 yeah. But when you hear, you receive and you do something with it. Other than that, you're just listening. The language is universal in the third dimension. It's constantly transmitting to all willing to tune into its frequency of the third dimension. So you must be willing to tune into it. But we know that the second dimension where Satan's kingdom reigns, he utilizes that to rule the first dimension, the kingdom of self, and he rules it by deception. He rules it by fear. He rules it by lust. He rules it by pride. So there's that place where God is trying to get his children to tune in to that third dimensional language, where it's such a relationship. In John chapter 8, John chapter 8, Is everybody there? Verse 42. So we see that there's the kingdom of self, right? There's Satan's kingdom, and there's the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of self, there's not only saved, but there's unsaved. In verse 42, it says, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself." Does everybody get it? Nor have I come what? Of myself. But he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Why don't you not understand what I'm saying to you? He said, because you are not able to listen to my words or hear my words. You are of your father, the devil. Hello. Now remember that you and I were born in darkness. We were offsprings of Satan's kingdom. We were his children. And there are those who are still out there who cannot hear God because they're still his children. There are many who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and are still children of the devil. Because it takes a choice to follow. That's why he said you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow. Are you with me? He said he was a murderer from the beginning and he does not stand in the truth. Hello. Because there is no truth in him. Why? Because he rules by deception. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and a father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why you do not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Do you see the difference? Hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Now, that is a position. It is a state of being. Jesus, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, it also is a representation of three chambers in the tabernacle. Everything revolves around the tabernacle, and you've heard me speak this before. There is the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. Everything revolves around it. All creation, everything. It's three-dimensional. The outer court is known as the saved place. It has a language called saved language. People talk about being saved, but they still talk worldly. They don't talk about the other things because there's no understanding to them. We'll go more into that. We see again that because of this place of outer court, it is known as the kingdom of self, ruled by deception. Satan's kingdom is ruled by deception. The outer court in this place where people are saved, they come in, but they're still carrying the world with them. They're not freed from it. Does everybody understand? Jesus goes on to explain this further in Matthew 13. So we have three languages because each chamber has a purpose, a function, and a language. In Matthew 13. The first dimension, what we talked about, is the kingdom of self. Amen? In this three chambers, there's the place of saved, there's the place of born again, and there's a place of warrior. There's a place of the saved. There's a place of born again. And there's a place of warrior. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Each one is a state of being. What place are we living in? Of course, you got the outer court, the holy place, the most holy place. Next to the outer court is outer darkness. That's why people can only speak the language of salvation, depend on God's blood in the area over there, always saying, repent, 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 because they're so close to the presence of evil that they run back and forth. They run in and out of the kingdom. In Matthew 13, is everybody there? In verse something, 18, would you read it with me? Therefore what? This is Jesus speaking. What does he say? Hear. Hear. Hallelujah. Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, in other words, he cannot interpret it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Now listen, this is where he explains it. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look at the next sentence. These are he who receives seed on the what? Wayside. Hello, way. Does everybody get it? Why? Because those that are in the outer court can't hold on so good. Does everybody got it? You know what they depend on? Coming to church because they can't search themselves. They're dependent on people instead of dependent on the Lord. There's a difference. They're not seekers. They're only receivers. Why? Because if they seek, they learn. There's a desire. Something changes, and that's not in the outer court. That goes to the next court. He says that these are the ones that are on the wayside. Verse 20, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he does not have root in himself, but endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. See, he's explaining not only in the outer court, in the place of way, but there's also three places in a way where people are losing because they're refusing to get into the next chamber. So he says that the devil comes and steals it. He says there's no root. There's no root in the outer court. There's no root. They got to get to the next one to start getting root. He says, then they hear it. They receive, oh, cool, great, I got it. But it's, can't hold on to it. And verse 22, then he said, and he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Look it. I want you to know you can be in the second chamber also and get thrown right back into the first one. Because of the cares of the world that pull you out of the second chamber. He said, but he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the words and what? Understands it because he's able to interpret. Who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. Jesus explains and exposes the hearts of man that limits their understanding to interpret the ways and the will of God. Again, there's three dimensions, there's three languages, and there's three kingdoms. There's the language of the saved, there's the language of the born again, and there's the language of a warrior. In 1 Corinthians 13. In verse 11, it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. Hello. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, outer court, kingdom of self. But when I became a man, an adolescent, I put away childish things. That's the second court. That's the born again place. For now I see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Again, those that are just saved, they live in the present. They need tutors and guardians. They're in a survival mode. They rely on others. They rely on grace. They're in transition to the next level, but still holding on to the world. They're not sold out yet, or they would let go of everything. They're unstable, and they can still run to the world. They can get lost at any moment. They only know love. They're always looking for, just like a baby that only knows love. That is the language of the saved. They can't interpret the word correctly. They're children. Does everybody understand this? That's why it's so vitally important to get to the next place. But you're not going to get to the next place unless you have a desire to. Amen? You must want to. If you don't want, God won't give you anything you don't want. He'll send an invitation out all the time. Listen, we're in here because the third dimensional voice spoke to you personally. You didn't understand it, but it drew you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 1 it says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, fleshly, worldly. As babes in Christ. He calls them babes in Christ. Children. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able to. For you are still fleshly, carnal, and worldly. You're still living in the kingdom of self and in the outer court. And you only understand that language. Survival. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Does everybody see that? Babes, still carnal. They only know the saved language. Does everybody understand that? But they're still worldly. In 1 Corinthians 14. So the first language is saved, the second language is born again. You mean there's a difference between being saved and born again? You betcha. It's a state of being, born again. That's what the word says, he who's in Christ. Christ meaning the anointed one and his anointing. He who's in Christ, he who's walking in the anointing. Old things pass away and all things become new. If they're still old there, then you're not walking in that state of being. If you're still in the lust, if you're still living ungodly, if you're still doing this, then you're not walking in that born again state of being. You're in the transition and hope that you're willing to let go so you can get in there. See, there's many people that want to serve. You know, there's a desire to serve, but God doesn't. God, anybody can serve. Amen. Even heathens can serve. Even the unbelievers can serve. In fact, they serve in the area. Well, they'll take the principles of God and use it to become prosperous. But there's a difference between a steward, somebody that God has given something to handle, than someone that just goes out and serves, because anyone can serve. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1, would you read it with me? It says what? Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to who? God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks what? Mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Now look at this next verse. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Go to the next one. He said, I wish you all spoke with tongues. But even more that you what? Prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. Now look at this. Unless, indeed he what? Interprets. That the church may receive edification. In this, there's this place where there's interpretation of what God is truly saying. And sometimes it's not by words. He releases a presence with which we must interpret. And this is called third dimensional language. It's where you and I interpret. It's not the area where we're reading the Bible. It's another place where there's presence that releases a message where you and I interpret. Is everybody okay? In this place, this is a born-again language here. They speak of born-again language, but there's an area where there's warrior language. Warrior language is the one that receives the presence that has a message where we interpret. Is everybody okay? Go to verse 20. Let me share something with you that you may ask God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you may not be speaking in tongues, but tongues is running in you. It's fear that's preventing a person to connect. Because God doesn't hold anything back that you ask for. Hello? Maybe it's unbelief. Maybe it's something. But God is not a respecter of person, is he? He wouldn't say you can be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and you can't. Amen? He is not that way. Why? Because there's so much advantage of praying in tongues. Tongues itself is a third dimensional language. That's why there's no understanding. It must be interpreted. Hello? But that's a born again language. Where when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you get tongues, you speak to the Father. You're bringing mysteries in. You're getting increasing in faith. And you're interpreting what tongues is saying. But then there's another place of a warrior language where it's got nothing to do with tongues, it's presence. It's got nothing to do with illumination or revelation, it's presence. It's different. In verse 20, what does it say? And thus this, verse 20, brethren, do not be what? Children in what? Understanding. However, in malice be what? Babes, but in understanding be what? Be mature. In other words, let's go to the next level. Let's grow up a little bit. Let's desire more of God. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for what? Assigned to those who what? They're not assigned to those who believe, but to who? Unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, I'll show you this. Acts chapter 2. I believe it's important that we know what position or state of being that we're in. Are we living in the saved, born again, or warrior? In Acts chapter 2, is everybody there? In verses 1 it says, "But when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." They just got their heavenly language. It's a third dimensional language. Does everybody get it? But it's in the state of a born-again individual. It happens when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We get a language. Now, the born-again language is what we consider in that born-again state of being, and it's still growing. We're always maturing. We're always learning. It doesn't matter what state you're in, amen? We're always learning. But one of the things God is trying to bring us places to deeper and deeper and deeper things. Why? Because there'll be a knowing and an instinct. That just, there's a sense that comes that it's not of this world. It's from the third dimension. It's different. It's a connection that it's like a ripple. It's totally different. In a born-again language, it's more like adolescent. The saved language is childish. The born-again language is adolescent. It's maturing. It's maturing in a transition to the next level. It's learning how to discern. It's bringing what happens in this language in this place. There's a reality of identity. Wow, who that they realize that they're not who they used to be. They're new. There's a reality. There's a new ID that's coming. There's a new DNA structure changing in them. There's not only a reality of an identity, but there's now the reality of the presence of God. See, in a saved state of being, there's not that reality of God's presence. Yeah, I'm saved. See, there's no reality. There's no love for God's presence. There's no desire to get in His presence because you must be born of the Spirit to desire the Spirit. Is everybody okay? There's a desire to serve. There's a desire to be in a position of the body of Christ. There's a desire to speak of the things of the Spirit. There's a hunger for the Word. There's a looking for more. There's a place of love of worship and minister to the Lord. No longer an observer, a participator. It's different. You no longer look around the room and look at everybody else. You don't care. Why? Because you're born of the Spirit now. And when you're born of the Spirit, you desire the Spirit. You desire to God's presence. You want to be touched by Him. You are fulfilling your priesthood. You understand the difference between saved and born again. Lost, good, evil. You understand the difference in the presence of evil, demons, and the presence of God. It's a different place. It's a different state of being. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, is everybody okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Jesus created this three-dimensional universe, and He set in place an eternal boot camp. Hello, you're in it. It's an eternal boot camp. We are tested citizens for eternity. Hello? Through what? Our learning experiences. How many people made it out of the promised land with Moses? Out of millions. Two are the originals. Rest didn't make it because they grumbled and complained. They weren't willing to follow. They weren't willing to do whatever it took. They were living in the kingdom of self. It's materialistic. It's how much money I have saved up. It's how much material I have. It's my plans to do what I want to do. But God laughs at our plans. And I can tell you right now, He's interrupting people's lives because time's running out. Praise God. I love to see lives interrupted. Amen. A divine interruption. You finally hit the reality wall. Oh man, I need to do something. Something's got to change. I can't live this way. See, there's a sense in there going, man, I'm going to die. Where am I going to go? There's a cry of, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? What's up? Reality wall. It's time to get things in order. 2 Corinthians 3, is everybody there? Hallelujah. Verse 4. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. I think that's it. Yeah, let's read it. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Let me tell you, the ministers of the new covenant is called the ministry of the Spirit. Spirit. It's the ministry of the Spirit. For the what? Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, and the Spirit gives life. Oh, the letter kills, and the Spirit gives life. So we see here it is the ministry of the Spirit. Not of the letter, not of the law, but it's in relationship of the Spirit. So that we, and the Bible says that those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. So if we're not led by the Spirit, well, you take it from there. You're either a son of God or a son of hell. Hello? Mark 16. So the born-again state of being, the born-again language, they decree God's word through the Bible. There's a thirst and hunger for the Bible. They speak in tongues. They speak of the Spirit because it is the ministry of the Spirit. Amen? In Mark 16. Hallelujah. How many of y'all want more? Well, I don't want more. I'm content with my car, my house, my family. Oh, you flesh creature. Living in the outer court. Hallelujah. It's time to grow, mature, and get ready. You know, it's like somebody who can't swim. You know what they got to do? When you throw them in the water, they got to get rescued, don't they? They swim to the side as fast as possible because they can't swim. But what if there's no side? Hello? They die. It's time to learn to swim. Mark 16, 16. He who what? Believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be what? Amen. Hello? The word believe means to follow. And those who are led by the Spirit are called sons and daughters of God. And it says here, he says, and these signs will follow those who believe. Why? Because they are born again. In my name they will cast out demons. Hello? There's an acknowledgement of demonic forces. They're not blaming people anymore. Well, you did this. Well, you did that. Well, who told you that? Hello? In my name they cast out demons. They speak with new tongues. Hello, that's the born-again state of being. Language of the born-again. They will take up serpents. Now listen. See, this doesn't mean you're going to dance with serpents, all right? You got to see, when you're in a born-again state of being, you begin to interpret what the word is saying now. There's an interpretation, but it's there's more of an... Each level of the chamber is also associated with the level of interpretation. Even in the saved condition, there's some interpretation. I'm saved, and I need more. That's not a good interpretation. I need to get the heck out of here. Then in a born-again state of being, there's another language of interpretation, but it's still limited. Until you get into the warrior where limitations of interpretation is removed. So he says here, they will take up serpents. Again, it's associated with demonic forces, and you got to go, you got to understand where Paul was at. You got to see it all the way through. You got to hear it all the way through. And they will drink anything deadly. It doesn't mean you're going to your neighbor's car, going to siphon his gas and drink it and give glory to God because you're going to die. Hello. Hi, I just drank all your gas. A born-again nut. That's what it is. They're called nutty. They're called fruity. Nutty and fruity. They're granola bars. And it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will what? Recover. That means you're... Why? Because you're walking in power now. The virtue of power now wants to express himself through you. Hallelujah. Casting out demons, laying hands on sick. That's the born-again language. Well, I haven't gotten there. Well, then you're still in the saved language. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you came today? Training for reigning. We got to know this stuff. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse something 6. Let's speak it. However, we what? Speak wisdom among those who are what?
Mature.
They can grab hold, understand, interpret. Yet not the wisdom of this age or this world, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. In other words, this was there before anything was created, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. No one. But you got all these nuts out there. You got all of this New Age movement. I'm telling you, they got a lot of nice, pretty books. The All-Seeing Eye. They got Cyclops dudes, you know. All kinds of stuff that's Nephilim, New Age. Satan comes as the angel of light. Self-God. Headed to hell. No power. Everything's about self. Me, myself, and I, the kingdom of Satan. People are not even seeing that. They're getting sucked in. People are still reading their horoscopes. Still going to psychics. I need a message. Well, you ain't getting one from God through them. Reading tarot cards. Looking at all this New Age stuff. That is all lie and deception. You touch that, you bring a curse on you. And you just allow more demons in you. You're going to be more tormented. The deep things of God, the language of a warrior, is from the deep things of God. Again, they're not words. It's a presence that releases a message to be interpreted. Is everybody okay? You know, one of the things, even in Daniel, in the Old Testament, Daniel cried out. And it's in chapter 10, verse 12. You don't have to go there. And the angel of the Lord came because he was bringing a message to him from the third dimension. And he said, Daniel, I have been sent to you that you may understand the interpretation of the things that you've been shown. And they pertain to the latter days, your future. He said, but I was sent the moment that you humbled yourself and set your heart to understand. In other words, he wanted to interpret what God had been revealing to him in dreams. Does everybody get it? And the angel came. But we have the Holy Spirit now. Jesus made the way so that we can go right in to the most holy of holies, to the third dimension. But so many people aren't willing. They don't even want it. They're content out there. Is everybody all right? You know, even Saul, who became Paul, had a divine interruption. He had gotten authority to go into Damascus and take all of those believers and kill them, destroy them, whatever, capture them and bring them back, men, women, and children who are of the way of Jesus. And on the way to the road to Damascus is in Acts chapter 9. He had a divine intervention by God Almighty. A light slammed him, knocked him off his horse, put him on his back, and the Lord spoke to him. Now the others around him heard a voice, but they could not interpret what was being said. Because it was only for Saul who would become Paul. Even Mary, the mother of Jesus in this realm, had a visitation from the angel. It says that she held things in her heart the whole time. Nobody could understand. She wasn't going around boasting, hey, I'm pregnant. Everything was holy. She was a righteous and upright woman. She was chosen by God. And even she was in the upper room on the day of Pentecost when everybody got baptized in the Holy Ghost. But she was spoken to from the third dimension by an angel and then was led to the upper room to begin to live in the second dimension. Does everybody understand that? Yeah. In the born-again state of being, I mean. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Is everybody all right? Are you learning? Oh, glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Hallelujah. In verse 1, Paul states, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I don't know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven." He was brought up to the third dimension. "And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words. Words which is not lawful for a man to utter." In other words, man can't utter these type of things. Humans can't utter these things. Only those who are eternal with an eternal DNA will be able to utter those things. It's different. Hello? "Of such a one I will boast, yet I myself will not boast except for my infirmities." Paul was taken up to the third dimension, words that couldn't be uttered by humans or understood or interpreted, but only sons of God can. In Hebrews 6. So there is a place of each dimension with each level of understanding. Amen? In verse 1, would you read it with me? Come on, everybody, read this with me. "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God." Now, that's pretty well. He's saying, let's move on from this. Why? These are the first two languages, saved and born again. He's saying, let's move on from this. Verse 2. "Of doctrines," of what? "Baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, of the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." Wow. What was he saying? Let's move on to the third dimension. He was encouraging and inviting everyone. Come on, let's move on from all of this. Yeah, we got it. We know about repentance, baptisms, laying on the hands, casting out devils. Let's go further. Hello? This is called entering adulthood. It's called warrior language. It's different. In this realm, there are no titles. There's no compromise. It's a language that is interpreted. It's a place where you no longer speak of the Spirit, you speak from the Spirit. It's a place where we are consistent, unmovable. It's a place where we expose. Because light exposes all things. It's a place where we see Jesus as the chief and commander of a military operation, and we are first strikers because we know the demonic activity is the number one influence to the people of God and humans, and deception rules this world. Deception. It's a place where we hate evil and voices of emotion. We hate evil and voices of emotion. We see the demonic realm of influence at first glance, and man at the second glance. It's a place where individuals are moved out of contemporary belief systems of grace, fulfillments, and doctrines, and into a holy place of battle, where cooperation is determined and essential to crush religious deceptions and to cut loose those who have been taken captive in bondage by demonic imprisonment. It's no longer a religious thing. It's not about religion. It's to understand that cooperation and fellowship and following is essential to be led by the Spirit. It's no longer a doctrine of once saved, always saved. It's no longer a doctrine that Jesus, I got delivered when I got saved. No, you didn't. That's all religious garbage. Oh, I was delivered when I got saved. Oh, really? Then why are you still smoking and speaking that way? Why are you still doing that? Why can't you interpret? Why can't you see things all the way through then? Hello? Because there needs to be removal of spirits, and there needs to be that place where vision is restored third dimensionally. Hello? Why? Because each dimension has a vision also. Saved, born again, and warrior. Is everybody okay? because they can't understand. Listen, a person that's in a saved state can't understand a born-again language. A person that's a born-again state can't understand a warrior language. It's different. It's a place where you and I no longer live but Him. It's amazing how people fight for their positions, their possessions, and their will, and their life. It's a place where an individual becomes a seeker and a doer. Is everybody all right? You know, something very powerful. Go to Revelation 1. Third-dimensional language. You want to now listen. Third-dimensional language released by a presence, wasn't it, to John when he wrote the book of Revelation. He had to interpret it, didn't he? Then Revelation was written down. Well, you and I now got to interpret what he wrote. That's why many people don't go to the book of Revelation. They don't understand it. It's all a bunch of pictures to them. They think it's an art room. But that's not true. It has a set of sequences and understandable only by the Spirit. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades, hell, and death.'" I have the keys, and these keys of hell and death, he holds the key. That, in other words, it locks and unlocks. Has everybody got it? Now, those in the realm of being stewards and not just servants. See, a servant is one who serves. A steward is one who holds all the goods that he has because God has entrusted him with it. Does everybody understand that? He knows how God is. He or she knows how he thinks, knows what pleases him and displeases him, knows these things. So God releases his goods to them because they know what to do with it. These are stewards. And we are stewards of the keys. It's very powerful. He says, and I have the keys. In fact, he told, when Peter got revelation that Jesus was the Christ, he said, now listen, on this revelation, the gates of hell will not prevail. Those gates are called dimensional ports. Jesus had the key to the ports. He says, I'm going to begin to shut ports, and I'm going to open up, I'm opening up a port where those who have my DNA will go through. And I have the key of death also. That key is in your mouth. It's called the tongue. You have the power of life and death in your tongue. Power. Amen? So one of the things Jesus is saying, look, we need to start setting our mind on the things above. See, the more you set your mind on is what you become. Because as a man thinks, so he is. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. Go to Colossians 3. Starting at verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above, where Christ is. Where is he? Third dimension. Sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, if you're truly his. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Proverbs 2. Oh, yes. Saved language, born-again language, and warrior language. You know, when you start learning, it's like learning another language. Because you've experienced, you've been there. Now when you're in that place of warrior, you speak as a warrior. Does everybody get it? What? What are you doing? You're exposed. You see things. You're seeking those things. You're a seeker and a doer of the things of God. You wait for his presence to express. When his presence comes, you interpret. In Proverbs 2, so there's that place of each level as a child, adolescent, warrior, mature, what we call an adult or an elder. People call themselves elders just because they're older, but yet they're still children. See, God doesn't look at any of that. He looks the state of being a person is. It has nothing to do with position. There are people calling them pastors, prophets, evangelists, and teachers that are still children because they don't have that understanding. They cannot interpret correctly. They get offended real easy because they're still children, immature. Amen? Proverbs 2 and verse 1. And let's speak this together. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to what? Understanding. See, one of the things is people are trying to understand with their mind and not their heart. They got all kinds of intellectual knowledge, but relationship is not established by intellect. It's established by heart to heart. Verse 3, yes, if you cry out for discernment. Why? Because if you have understanding, you know what you're going to have? Discernment. If you're able to interpret, will you understand? Everybody go, yeah. And lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will what? Understand the fear of the Lord and find what? Knowledge. Wow, because when the interpretation comes, hello, understanding comes, and you know what it's carrying? Knowledge. Where? From the third dimension. From the realm. Whoa. Man, you touch that, you change. It only takes one word. Boom. You're changed. Yes. For the Lord gives wisdom from... Now look at this, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, right? And it says what? From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Why? He's speaking from where? Third dimension. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk upright. He guards the path of the justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. And I'm going to close it. 1 Peter 4. You should have written a book today. 1 Peter 4. You know, even Satan's kingdom has a language. And many people don't understand that some of the music that they're hearing and some of the things that there's messages in them. They also love to speak in reverse so you can't understand. There's all kinds of things that they have, but God begins to reveal and expose these things. People are still petting music, secular music, not knowing that they're inviting spirits. They're actually channeling spirits in them by listening to those things. They're bringing them in. They become now a vessel of Satan. And they have no idea that they're doing it. And they're calling themselves, I'm a believer. Oh, I just love that music. 1 Peter 4. Therefore, let's read verse 1. Since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the what? Same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. You know, think about it. Why do people drink and do drugs? They're looking for another presence. They don't even know it. They're looking for home. They're looking to get high because they came from the presence of God. You and I came from the presence of God. But the counterfeit high of God's presence, Satan puts in a bottle, in a needle, in a joint, in medication, and all of the stuff where people's dependency now is on false deception, counterfeit God's presence. Never. There will be people who will never taste the presence of God until they get home. What a shame. Hallelujah. Verse 2, that he no longer should live for the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of the men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of God and the will of Gentiles. When we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. You will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel is preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, in your fellowship. Again, it's no more the area where we speak of the things of the Spirit, but we speak from the Spirit. Amen? It's different. Third-dimensional language, the presence that must be interpreted. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, we just ask not only for your mercies and your grace, but for interpretation today in the areas that you desire us to grow into, leaving those things behind, removing the limitations of our relationship with you, removing the limitations that the enemy has placed upon us, and bringing the thirst and hunger not only for your presence, but for visitation, for interpretation, that revelation and illumination would be expressed. Lord, bless your people today and seal this seed that's been imparted to create a thirst and hunger for more of you, that we may be trained up and be able to train others. In Jesus' name.